be opening up somewhere. How about John chapter 8? You know in my teaching that oftentimes my failures, when I'm willing to be transparent, and most of the time I am, you know, I've had successes in the gospel. We could glory and talk about overcoming cancer and overcoming poverty and overcoming other things and how God delivered us through those wonderful years when we had three teenage daughters all at the same time. And pray for anybody that has teenage children. God got us through it, and they're all serving the Lord today, and we thank God for that. And but you know, sometimes it's hard to come out of my mouth. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I don't do what He's told me to do. And sometimes you can learn just as much from my failures, because I had to learn from it, as you do from the successes. So I'm going to be very transparent. I'm going to talk to you like family today. Is that okay? Talk to you like family. At the prayer center, this summer will mark 20 years for Sue and I that we've been here. When I think of the revelation knowledge, Sue, we were already 45 years old the day we first walked through the door of the prayer center. We'd already been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years up until that point. And we could tell you great things that God did. It was during that 12 years that I got delivered from cancer. It was during that 12 years that He did deliver our children. And we could talk about some healings that Sue had and on and on. We did have some victories, but there was so much we did not know until the day that we stepped through the door of the prayer center. Yes, sir. Right on the other hand, yes, sir. Okay. Get real. Every time we have a turn of the year, I don't know about you, but my thinking goes to, okay, what's coming now, Lord? Is there changes you want to make? As I was thinking about all of the revelation knowledge that Sue and I have learned, and it's been a lot. Can I have any other witnesses? Have you learned anything since you started coming or hearing the messages that come from the prayer center, whether you were here or not? But here was some of my complaint, if you will, to the Lord. I especially was thinking about that year of Ephesians, that we spent a whole year in the book of Ephesians. My God, that was a ton of revelation knowledge, you know. But here's my complaint. As for the last few months, let's say 2 months, November, December, coming into January, I say, Lord, I taught a lot of that. I taught it myself. I know it's Your word. I know it's true, but when I look at the change in me compared to the revelation knowledge that's in me, Lord, if I'm going to be honest with You, Lord, it doesn't seem real. I don't see enough change in proportion to the amount of revelation knowledge. So the phrase that I would use every now and then in my complaint to the Lord, you know, David talks about his complaint, pouring out his complaint. I would say, what is the deal? I know Your word is true. I'd like to think I would. I'd stand before a firing squad before I'd say God's word isn't true. But so what is it, Lord? I mean, I know it's truth. I know. It reminds me of Dave saying, Father, we're not arguing with You. The works that Jesus did, we'll do also. But how do we make that journey from the knowledge that it's true to walking in that truth, you know? Well, the key phrase there is it doesn't seem true. It doesn't seem real. That's the key phrase. I know it's true, but it doesn't seem real. Our Father is so merciful to us. Shortly before the first of the year, I just every now and then this idea would float up in my mind. Listen, don't discard those. That's usually God trying to get something. He's trying to help you. But this thought would just keep coming up, and He was reminding me of one of the earliest tape series, long before we ever heard of a Dave Roberson on planet Earth, way back in 1980. And I know it was 1980 when I heard it, because We went to a conference that summer, and I bought all of their materials. That's back when money wasn't staying away in abundance. Sue and I were in the real estate business, and we were making pretty good money, and I liked what I was hearing at this conference. I said, well, how much? And the guy says, well, how much for what? Which tape series do you want? Which book do you want? And I said, how much for all of them? He said, I don't even know. Nobody ever asked before. So they went and they totaled it up. And this is 1980 prices. It was 800 and some odd dollars. And we just bought it all. Now, I am a good student. Anyone that knows me, I mean, I wore that stuff out. But I know that this particular tape series was one of them that I heard. And I heard it in the fall of 1980. Now, it's been 32 years. Going on 32 years since then. And as I would just, you know, spend my time during the holidays and everything, that one particular one of those series, it's only five messages, it kept just floating back up in my spirit. You ought to listen to that again. So I went and found it, started listening to it again. Some of you might say, who is it by? It's by God. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you the name. Some of you turn you on, some of it turn you off, and what matters is the revelation that's in it. So I was listening to this series, and in the course of it, this minister was talking about people that struggle with healing, for example. And he would say, well, they would come to me, and maybe they've been coming to the church a long time, maybe they've been saved for 20 years, you know, but they've got some kind of affliction, and they can't seem to get healed of it. And they'd come to me, and they'd say, oh, Pastor, I know that God's word is true. I know His word says, by His stripes, I was healed. I know that it's true. But it just doesn't seem real to me. Do you remember my complaint before the Lord? I know your word is true. But it just doesn't seem real. Now, four times in that tape series, that same statement comes up. You think God wasn't helping me? And four times this pastor gave the answer for it. And I'll give it to you for a love offering of $19.95. I have to. Your family, I have to. Now, if you got something to write on, or you can borrow something to write on, you ought to write this phrase down, because it's the same answer all four times. And I know it's true. This is the Holy Ghost taking me back 32 years to remind me of something that I had kind of let slip over time. So four different times, and it wasn't always on the same thing like healing. See, it's the same in every area of life. God's in John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Not going to be, not shall be, not sometimes is. Thy word is truth. What's the mechanism for converting God's truth, which never changes, into reality for you? Well, four times that phrase came up, you know, they'd say, I know that God's word is true, but it just doesn't seem real. And four times he gave this answer. You ready? Faith's confessions create realities. Faith's confessions create realities. Now understand, God's word is true the whole time. It never changes. I'm going to give you an example we can all relate with. I'm going to give you an example. Let's take three men who all three attend three lost men. Let's demonstrate this. Three lost men come into a service. Not to say they've never ever heard of the gospel ever. They've never known about Jesus and Him crucified. And I say that particular night, it's an evangelistic service, and boy, I mean the message of the cross is preached and preached well. All three men are lost. They all three come in, they sit down, they hear the exact same truth. They hear the truth that never changes. See, we tend to say, oh, so-and-so, he went to church and he got saved last night. Well, we know what they mean by that. He came and he heard the message and he received it and he got saved the way we phrase it last night. But see, God didn't save him last night. God saved him 2,000 years ago. The truth is, Jesus died on the cross for all three of those men, and that will never change. The truth is there and has been there for 2,000 years. But see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't have faith until you have knowledge of what God's Word is. Well, these men come, and they all, none of them knew before, but during that service, faith comes. Why? Because somebody got up and they preached the Word of God. They preached the truth. It's always been the truth. All three men hear it. Let's say the first man, he hears it. He receives it into his heart. He understands what the man is saying. And he makes a decision to walk down the aisle at the altar call, to bow his knee. That maybe they lead him in Romans 10, 9 and 10, where it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So they whatever prayer they lead him in, the end result, he confesses his sin, he receives Jesus, confesses him as his Lord, and now notice, a creative miracle happens on the inside of that man. His spirit is literally regenerated from death to life. What Jesus called the greater work, something he was never able to do in his own ministry because he had not been glorified yet. He said, that's a greater work even than opening the blind eyes to take a man's spirit from death to life. It's the creative power of God's Word. It was there for 2,000 years, but it didn't happen in that man until he heard the Word, acted on the Word, and confessed Jesus as his Lord. See, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth. And God's truth that was there for 2,000 years, because this man acted on the Word, that creative truth, that raw, pulsating power of God, literally changed that man's spirit from death to life. Let's take the other two men. The second man, just as lost as the first one, heard exactly the same truth, heard exactly the same message, made a decision in his mind that it's not true. Walked away without ever making any kind of confession, any kind of belief, any kind of action. Just heard it and chose not to believe it. Did God want that man saved? Was it the will of God that the man be saved? See, there is something on planet Earth stronger than an all-powerful God. And it's called unbelief. Unbelief. That same power that's in the truth of God's Word that generated new life in that first man, that same power was just as available to the second one. But his unbelief held back the saving arm of an almighty God. Unbelief is a horrible thing. Let's take the third man. Heard the same word. The power of Almighty God was there to save his spirit just as much as was the other one. Let's say that when he heard it, he said, you know, I think it's true on the inside. I think Jesus is God's son. I think he died on the cross for me. I think what they're saying is true. I think it's possible for a man to be born again. But his decision was, I'm going to get saved someday, but just not today. Maybe later in life when I'm old and don't want to live a certain lifestyle anymore. And his unbelief also, his failure to act on the Word, his failure nullified that raw, pulsating power that's in the Word of God. The good news about all that is, no matter where you are right now, maybe some people walk in health real easily, and they're able to shake off the attacks of the devil pretty easy. I don't know why. Others, seems like they can believe God for prosperity. They just always seem to have more than enough, but they can't You know? What I'm saying is some people seem to have faith in one area more than they do others. And you're all going to heaven. You know what the good news is about that? Your faith can change. See, we can work on us. I like to say it this way. I can work on the part of me that doesn't believe until I do believe. And confession has just a whole lot to do with that. It has just a whole lot to do with that. Romans 12:1-2 that we quote all the time, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto the Lord, that you can know His good, acceptable, and perfect will. Be not conformed to this world, but be you renewed. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do you renew it with? God's truth. Now, I had you open to John 8, because everyone quotes only half of this. They quote verse 32. I was so excited when I heard Mark start off this morning talking about discipline, because I already had this verse. I knew it was the jumping off verse. See, everyone quotes this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, and if you only take that verse by itself, it sounds like the knowledge alone is enough to make you free. That's the danger of lifting verses out of context. Look at the verse right before it. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My what? You are my what? Disciples indeed. Now, a disciple is different than a student. You remember what Jesus said, the difference between, you know, the storms come to all of us. The storms of life are going to come. Have you figured that out yet? The difference between, you know, the storms are going to come. He says, this one man, the storms come and just destroyed his whole house. Yet he had heard My word. He had heard the truth. He had heard My sayings. But when the storm came, it just tore his house down. This other man, he heard My sayings, but he acted on My word. And when the storms of life came, his house could not fall. Even though it was the same storm, what was the key? Hearing the word? Doing the word. The person that becomes a disciplined follower. See, Mark is teaching us right now about fasting the body. I'm talking about fasting your mouth. And I don't mean eating. I mean what you're saying. What are you saying? Go to Mark 11:23. The Lord had me start going back, listening to that tape series. And He says, you've learned a lot since you came to the prayer center. And you've incorporated a lot. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've almost forgotten it. You've incorporated a lot. He says, but you have laid down some keys that I gave you earlier. And I never told you to lay them down. Mark was talking this morning. I thought it was a perfect analogy. A guy's got a flat tire. He looks in the trunk, and the only tool he's got in the trunk is a mallet, a rubber mallet. He needs to take the tire off and get it fixed. Well, the only tool I have is a mallet. I'm going to stand here and beat this tire with the mallet till it comes off. You'll be standing there beating that tire with a mallet till the next time we see you too. See, the mallet is good and it's got its purposes, but it's not for changing tires. Fasting will give you what tongues cannot give you. Tongues has a purpose. Fasting has a purpose. Confession of God's word has a purpose. Mark 11:23. I know you've never heard this verse before in your whole life. And let's start in 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. But the Greek actually says, have the God kind of faith. How many wants to have faith like God has faith? You know, this, we don't have to, right there, let's go to Genesis, don't turn there, but let's in our mind, let's go to Genesis 1. Let's see how God does this. Y'all know the story. The earth was dark and without form. Darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was there, brooding. He was brooding over the waters, hovering. You look that word up, it has the connotation of incubation, like a hen over the chicks, okay? There's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pulsating with the dew power. Not D-E-W, the D-O. the doing power. He's the molecule changer. He's the one that's there on earth. All right, here's God the Father. God the Father wants light. It's not light. It's darkness. Then, if you could say it this way, God the Father has knowledge that such a thing exists as light. He wants light, but we cannot see any light. He wants light. The knowledge that light is was not enough for light to be. The conversion from that knowledge of truth to manifested reality was God said. This is how God operates His faith. He knows it. He knows the truth. But it's when the Word is spoken. Even in God's case, that Holy Spirit was waiting for the spoken Word. The knowledge of it was not enough. Light be, and light was. Well, he says, have that kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, based on that, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Then he talks about forgiveness. None of this works without forgiveness, but that's not the subject we're talking about today. Go to Matthew 12. Keep in mind Mark 11:23. Speaking unto the mountain and believing in your heart that what you say shall come to pass, you'll have what you say. See, the truth of it is you're already having what you say. When what you say lines up with what you really believe. In my case, I grew up in church, but I grew up in a lot of false doctrine. I'll just tell you the truth. Just lots and lots and lots of false doctrine. The primary false part of it was the end result of their teaching was, I'm still just an old sinner. My nature has not changed. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, that thinking kept me in the concept of, well, you know, God, I'm just lucky if I make heaven. God can't really use me. I mean, you know, and I can't really expect to walk a very holy life. And I'm still just an old sinner. He just had mercy on me. See, and that's really Old Testament salvation. That's not what the New Testament teaches at all. But I didn't know that. Faith had to come, and it hadn't come yet. See? So, I sang those old songs in unbelief. I told you about one the other day. You know, Johnny Cash. I like Johnny Cash. You may not like him, but I like him. I think Johnny's in heaven myself. But anyway, Johnny, he had a song, and of course it just really fit that doctrine I grew up under. So, well, I'm just an old lump of coal, but I'll be a diamond someday. Well, now if you're just talking about the flesh, that's probably true, okay? But they're not talking about the flesh, they're talking about them. I'm just an old lump of coal, but I'll be a diamond someday. So it's all put off till someday. It's all put off to heaven. So, you know, you don't really say it this way, but the thinking is, I'll be able to cast out devils in heaven. Oh, just one problem. That'll be a little bit late. There's not any devils there to cast out. Well, I'll have that healing anointing when I get to heaven. Boy, I'll walk in it then. Only one problem. Ain't nobody sick there either. I'll finally walk in that prosperity that the Bible talks about when I get to heaven. Yeah, but they're going to already be paving the streets with gold. What you call treasure, they call asphalt. If this gospel isn't for now, it's not much help. See? And the New Testament says you're a new creature now. We're going to get to some of these confessions in a minute. But truly, by your own words, you have held back my hand. Mark, God, let me teach fasting. Oh, God, did you hear that? Oh, my. Do you know in Malachi it says, your words have been stout against me. Your words have been stout against me. what he's really talking about there is nobody in this room, nobody in the sound. I mean, you guys love God. You're all you wouldn't be coming to this church and taking the kind of beatings you get from the enemy. He's not talking about, you know, you saying horrible things about God. He's talking about using your mouth to create a reality that's not of Him. Because you're already having what you say when what you say is really what you believe in your heart. When I first got saved again, we didn't know hardly anything. The only thing I knew in my head was the legalism that had been put in me from the denomination. I love God. I really got saved. And I really love God. But all of that thinking, that legalism, just came to the forefront because it's all I knew. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't pleasant. It didn't make Sue want to come follow me. Got real judgmental and legalistic real quick. I showed her the love of God. She didn't want to go to church with me. I threw my Bible at her. I'll show you the love of God. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And I know nobody here in the sound of my voice is saying awful things about God, but we are saying, inadvertently we're saying things when we speak directly opposite to what His Word says about us. See, my Bible says we're more than conquerors. How often, though, do I confess things like, well, I just feel so weak and tired, I just don't know, and, you know, maybe He's dealing with you to go pray for somebody and you think it won't do any good if I do. Nobody else thinks like that. Dave says, you know, we'd be a lot more excited about hospital visitation if when we went, stuff happened. In other words, they'd get healed or they'd get out of the bed. Jesus says in Matthew 12, starting in verse 34. Now, He was talking to the Pharisees there because they were saying He was doing things by the power of the devil. But He gives us a real strong teaching right here, starting in verse 34 now. You're not the generation of vipers. He was talking to them. But He said to them, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now, this is true right here. I mean, it's all true. But listen to this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do I demonstrate this? See, there's a period of time when I'm trying to renew my mind on any subject. And I begin, as part of that renewal, I get God's Word and I begin confessing it as truth. I'm in faith. I'm in the faith is coming portion. I haven't arrived at faith yet. Y'all remember when I was smoking like a freight train all those years ago at the Ugly Building, and he'd have me in Romans chapter 6 where it says, don't you know that you've been baptized into His death? And I'd go, I guess I don't know it, you know. Let's go to Romans 6 just for a minute. This is a perfect example of His truth never changes. His truth never changes. But manifesting that truth so it becomes reality in your life really is up to you. It's up to you to believe it in your heart. It's up to you to begin to confess it with your mouth. And really, there's a step beyond there. It's up to you to act on His truth. See? Like, remember the three men? Well, Romans 6 was just full of stuff that didn't make sense to me. And I mean, get the picture again. I'm just puffing away. Now, I'm just picking on something of mine. I'm not picking on smokers. I'm just picking on smoking because that's what I was, you know. If yours is... And I'll stop right there. Now, well, I don't want to just pick on anybody, you know. Could be anything. It says, what shall we say then? Now, get the picture. Puff, puff. Remember that little ugly building where I went for all those years and prayed and smoked? The thing was only about 8 foot by 12 foot. Didn't take very long in the wintertime with the door shut for it to fill up with a cloud that was not the Shekinah glory cloud. I'd open that door, and if you didn't know better, you'd think God was rushing out. No, it was just smoke. Just start to get dizzy about to pass out. I go, oh, I need to open the door. But anyway, what shall we... Now, puff, puff, puff. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And I'm going, I don't know. God forbid, how shall we, puff, puff, that are dead to sin, puff, puff, live any longer therein? And I remember saying out loud, I don't know. And then he'd go, know you not that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And I go, I guess not. I don't guess I know it, Lord. And all down through there, look at verse 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. I said, I don't feel dead. My body, every time I try and make it think it's dead, it's got real strong evidence that it's not. It makes me suffer. Okay? By the way, there's a verse, he that suffered in the flesh is freed from sin. But we're not on that today. Look at verse 12. Let not. God's not going to let it, right? Who's the subject here? Me? Puff, puff. Let not sin therefore reign, that's rule and reign, in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. I had had years of mental conditioning, sitting in pews, telling me that I was just an old sinner saved by grace. And I mean, that ran strong. I didn't realize how strong it was. It would come up against this truth right here, and there's a war in my mind. Here's God's truth that never changes, and it's saying I have the ability to not let it reign. But I had decades of teaching, or at least a decade of teaching, telling me that I really had no power over sin. And there's a war going on. So what did I do? The very last one, look at verse 22. There's just no escaping this one. It says, now being made free from sin. What? What? Being made what? Free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And I'd go, being made free from sin? Puff, puffing away, couldn't understand it. So now in my own case, this was in the days when I hadn't laid down the tool yet. I took Romans chapter 6 myself. Nobody did it for me. I did it myself. I wrote out every verse, and I made every verse into a positive, now, present tense confession, just like it was already manifested true in my life. And I remember, you didn't confess that while you were smoking. Surely you didn't. Well, you know what did. At that moment, I could not get free from the smoking. I could not. I tried everything. I've told you before. I didn't have lozenges then. We had gum, patches. I told you about the time I had a patch on each arm, two gum things in my mouth. Had to pull over on the way home to smoke a cigarette. You know, I mean, I could not get free. I just couldn't. But what I could do was start confessing with my mouth. I could do that. Did it make me feel better or worse? Made me feel worse. What do you think? Here I'm speaking God's truth. I'm free from sin. Right there it is. Make that one in verse 22. Gary has been made free from sin. And now I'm a servant of God and my fruit is holiness. Puff, puff, puff. Felt like the biggest hypocrite on planet Earth. Faith's confessions create realities. I walk the floor, confess that. Walk the floor. I really walk in the field over there. I confess that, confess that. I can't even tell you the days, weeks, and long time that I confessed that. Then he started putting me on a series fasting thing, which I didn't really at the time think had anything to do with this. I was doing a series fasting trying to get deliverance for somebody else. And a whole year of it. Did I say series fasting? You know what that is? You fast 1, 2, 3 days, and then you eat 1, 2, 3 days, but you don't have months of eating in between. You just go right back into it. And I did that off and on for a year. And then sure enough, the day came. And plus I kept praying in tongues. Of course we were praying in tongues. The day came. Not going to tell you the date either. That's not important. But the day came where I had to make a decision, and His grace, enough renewal had taken place. My mind was just enough, and I mean just enough. But I'll tell you this, from that day till now, and that's been years, I've never smoked another one. Now the thing of it is, God's truth was exactly the same the whole time. The whole time, God's power to deliver me, just like the power to save that man and convert his spirit from death to life, God's power to deliver me was there the whole time. His truth doesn't change. But how do you access that truth? How does that positional truth that never changes, how do you access that from knowledge to where it's your world? And you live there, and you rise up healed, or you rise up delivered, you rise up anointed, you rise up into the calling that He's called you to do. How do you do it? Well, one way, I mean, don't lay down these other tools, but if you've laid down the tool of confession, friend, I would pick it back up. Let's go back to Matthew 12. I didn't finish that. Out of the abundance of the heart, this is Matthew 12:34, the mouth speaks. Now, in those days of making those confessions, it was not abundant in my heart yet. What was abundant in my heart, and I'll be honest, now I had smoked for 42 years. Would y'all call that a fair stronghold? And after you've already done the gum and you've done the patches and you've tried to quit 1,000 times and failed, something in your mind, you start settling. And you go, he's just going to have to love me as a smoking child. I mean, I never really said it was okay. You know, I knew it wasn't really... Well, it's the addiction part, see? That's the thing. It's not good to be addicted. Anyway, what I really believed in my heart was I can't quit. Now, here I'm starting the process with my mouth. When I made those Romans 6 confessions, I'm starting to say them. The first day I said them, what's in my heart in abundance? 42 years? Come on, get real. Maybe you've had a long-standing sickness of some kind. Maybe, and the doctors have told you, they've given you... quote, help, that you're always going to be the way you are, or, you know. No, you're not. When you first start confessing God's Word, it's not in your heart in abundance yet. You've just started. You've got something else. In my case, I had 42 years of experience telling me I was never going to be free. Well, the first time I said those confessions, that wasn't in my heart in abundance. Second time I said them, third time I said them, fourth time I said them. But I was incorporating the other tools too. I was listening to the services. I was listening to the revelation knowledge coming forth from Dave. I was praying in the Spirit. I was doing series fasting. It's doing the message. And the day come when His truth that was true the whole time became manifested reality in my life. And I've been free ever since. But he says, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. You can speak something. We could have a confession class and I'm not looking at anybody. I just got to look somewhere. You know, we could have a confessions class. We're going to teach you how to do confessions, okay? And we just lead you in a few. Like if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I'd lead you in a confession. It goes, I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. I am a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. We could lead you in that. And the first time you said it, but that's not what's in your heart in abundance. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Been smoking for 42 years. Probably going to smoke till I die. You know? Yeah, old things have passed away except smoking. Way down deep. You wouldn't say that out loud, but way down deep, that's what you believe. See? And what's in your heart in abundance when the pressure comes? That's when we find out who you are. You know? Now what's good, parentheses, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I have had pressure come now, and it surprises me. 4 days after that was over, I went, I never once thought of having a cigarette. Y'all just don't know. You just don't know. What I go, call Sue. Do you know I never even thought of having a cigarette during that? Hallelujah. See? There is deliverance. There's real freedom. All right. Let's go on to the rest of this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart. Now, there it is. The treasure, the good treasure of the heart. He brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now I heard all kinds of goofy teaching on that, like you can't even tell a joke, you can't tell a... That's not what this passage is talking about. If you look in the context, what were those men going to be judged by, the ones that are calling Jesus, doing what he's doing by the power of the devil? That's what he's talking about. Are you speaking in line with God's word, or are you speaking in line with your life experience? What's true to you? I'm not shouting about this message either, Mark. Go to James chapter 2. I'm trying. Go to James chapter 2. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, I'm mainly talking about the tool of confessing God's word today. See, I know you can get healed by the gifts of the Spirit. I also know that most people that get healed that way when the devil comes around for his counterattack, they don't know how to get free because they didn't know how to get free the first time. They got to track down that preacher or find another preacher. It's got the gifts flowing through him. See, you can get free and stay free by your own faith. And I mean anybody can. The promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. You can get free on your own faith and stay free too. If you know how you got it, you can keep it. Amen? Now, I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for the gifts of healing and working of miracles. But I want to be strong in faith myself. Give glory to God. Well, James, in chapter 2, starting in verse 18, says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Now, here's an interesting thing. See, why in the world would this verse follow that one? "Thou believest that there is one God? Well, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Now, one way you can say that, knowledge alone is not enough. The devils know that. Are they obeying God? No. Are they trying to please God? No. There's no hope for them. He says, knowledge alone is not enough. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, I was going to use this as an example. This is what he reminded me of a while ago. Sue and I attended the prayer center starting when we were 45 years old. Michael had led us to the Lord. Michael had got us baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I could Sean Dyer along with the best of them. But we didn't do much of it because we didn't know there was any reason to. We had not been taught from God's word. And the most I'd ever prayed was in order to go with Michael in those early days to the prisons. He had a requirement that if you're going to go with him on whatever day it was, Thursday to the prison, you had to come Tuesday night and pray 2 hours in other tongues. Well, that sounded real easy. Dear God, I'll never forget that first night I went to pray 2 hours in other tongues. It seemed like we'd entered the ice age and everything was glacial. You know, it's like watching a clock move without a second hand. You know, like it seemed about as exciting as watching paint dry. You know. 2 hours? Well, that's the longest I ever prayed, you know. But at least he got us praying in the Holy Ghost some. Well, then we come here, and, you know, who had ever heard such things? Pastor Dave started laying out, and the Holy Ghost timing was perfect. Dave would go through these cycles, and he'd kind of start over again, laying those foundations, tongues for the believer, and land. We come right at that time, and boy, I had never heard. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's, we're listening and listening, we get those tapes. And I couldn't come to every service, but Sue could, because I was a long-haul trucker at the time. But I'd come every service I could. Sue knows. If I was in town, we came. And she would come whenever I wasn't. She'd get the tapes. Man, I'd come. I couldn't wait to get my hands on that next clump of tapes. I'd take them with me, and I'd listen to them and listen to them and listen to them. What was happening? Faith was coming. And I'll tell you the truth. In that case, I didn't make any confessions. I will pray with other tongues. I will pray with other tongues. I will. In that case, I didn't. What I was doing there to renew my mind was listening to the truth over and over. Some of those, now those were the days before Dave had our nice little parables that we have now. This was before Chuck the Duck and what do I get with Arnold Schwarzenegger and all of those things that's helped us now. Dave was teaching about 14 miles above my head. One lady here described it perfectly one time. She started attending the prayer center, and after about 3 or 4 weeks, Dave was teaching. He was here and teaching all the time. I said, "Well, what's it like when you come?" She said, There's so much revelation knowledge. He said, have you ever tried to get a drink from a fire hydrant? Well, that's about the way Sue and I felt when we came. It was just like so much so quick, and it's like 14 miles above my head. I'd have to listen to those tapes. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Some of those tapes I'd listen to 14, 15 times. Praying in other tongues too. Until I finally got it. And I don't ever remember making confessions about that. But see, faith without works is dead. Confession is one of the things you can do to renew your mind. The other thing is just acting on God's word. Because what I did do, and it was December, we started in June, we listened to those messages for about 6 months. And I did my research. Every time Dave, I had been hurt, I don't know how else to put it, hoodwinked by well-meaning preachers before. They didn't mean to hurt me, but they sure did. They didn't mean to teach me false doctrine, but they sure did. Well, I trusted Dave about as far as I could throw him. And I checked out every verse. He doesn't care when I talk like that. If he was here, he'd like it. I checked out every verse. I could not find any that he was taking out of context. And Sue can tell you, we had a discussion. I said, I can't find anything wrong with this. I'm going to start doing this in the cab of that truck. And so I did. I made that decision. I wish I'd have wrote down the exact date, but it was in December of 1992. And I just said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to shut off. I'm stuck in the cab of this truck 40, 50, 60 hours a week anyway. I'm going to shut off the CB radio. I'm going to shut off the regular radio. I'm just going to make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. And Lord, whenever I'm driving, I'm going to be praying in other tongues. Doesn't that sound easy? Doesn't that sound like a nice thing to do? You know, it's just so easy. Because I'm in that cab about 10 hours a day, sometimes 12, 14 hours a day. Well, it was hard to get disciplined in that. Hard to get disciplined. See, at this point, I had acquired knowledge. Faith had come. Faith without works is dead. We tell people all the time, it's not coming and hearing the message that causes transformation. It is coming and doing the message that causes transformation. I began doing it. Was it hard? You bet your bippy. I'm going to pray for 10 hours. I wouldn't be 5 minutes. My mind would be over on this. It'd be over on that. And I'd come to myself and realize I'd quit praying in tongues. Well, what are you going to do? I'm sorry, Lord. And start again. And then it wouldn't be 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm thinking about a steak grilling on an open fire, you know, or something, you know. They're thinking about Sue, how pretty she is, you know. Whoops, that's a good thing to think, but still, you got to go back to praying in tongues, you know. Well, it took a while, but eventually I became disciplined. And I mean, for years after I left truck driving, Sue can tell you, it became just a reflex, touch the wheel, pray in tongues, even in a car. And do you know what happened? Exactly what the Word of God said would happen. I started to say Dave, but he was just the vessel through whom the truth came. What God had said. See, the Holy Ghost had been my teacher the whole time, even for the 12 years before we heard this message. But why was it that it was only after I began praying in those other tongues that He began coming with visions and revelations and voice and dreams and just started, and I began typing these things, and it was the birth of the ministry that we're still in today. The process is still going on. I've got some new ones I'd like to share. You may hear them in 3 years or so. We'll see. I'm not quick to deliver them until I know for sure. But the truth was the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. John 14. This is only half the message, so y'all might as well just get comfortable. Now the other half's going to go pretty quick. Look at John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Who's your teacher? God gave you an angel, right? No? Is Dave really your teacher? Is Gary really your teacher? Now, we're teachers in the body of Christ, but ultimately we teach those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. And we're trying to get you where you're not dependent on us. We want you dependent on the Holy Ghost Himself. He's your teacher. But the point I'm trying to make is, He was my teacher for those 12 years before we ever heard this, but it wasn't being manifested in our life. Why? We didn't know the truth. We had faith had not come in that area yet. It took Pastor Dave Roberson to deliver that truth to us. Faith came, but then once the knowledge came, that's not enough to sit here and hear the message again and again. It only began happening when we began doing the message. And when we began doing it, sure enough, exactly what was the truth the whole time began to become reality in our life. See, you can say faith's confession creates realities, that's true, but acting on God's Word creates realities too. In this case, I just kept listening. We both kept listening and listening and listening, and then we decided to act on it. You got to act on God's Word. Yes, sir. All right. Here's part two. This is going to be pretty fast, I think. I'm not quite to part two yet. But it will be. We're going to get it today. So I've gone back now to some of my original early day things when it comes to confessing God's Word. I would suggest to you, there's many ways to study the Bible. There's 14, 11 different ways out there to study the Bible. Here is one good way. Go through the Bible yourself, the New Testament, especially the epistles. And every time you find the words in Christ, like you find a scripture, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Underline that in red. You might take a notebook paper or something, write it out yourself. Every time you find a verse in Christ, in Him, in whom, by Him, through Him, those kind of verses. There's about 130 to 140 of them. Okay? It'll take you a while. When you find those verses, write it out for yourself, and that's not enough. Take that verse and make it into a present tense now confession, as though you're already walking in it. Just the same way I did Romans 6, where I was saying I was free when it was obvious I wasn't free. But I was saying the truth, even though I wasn't walking in truth. But faith's confession creates reality. And I'm going to give you just a few examples. I just brought a few here. Here's one of them, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You notice, in Christ, that is in Christ Jesus. Let me read it again. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I kept trying to make a small confession out of that. But the more I would say it, the more would come. This is as it stands today. I have been declared just in the sight of God. And I had nothing to do with it. I didn't pay the price. It was free to me. Jesus paid a terrible price to redeem me by grace alone. Redemption means, and I looked it up, redemption means I have been cleared by payment. Jesus took my guilt and paid the price in full with His own blood. And I am justified because of that payment in full. No accusations against me have any legal standing before God. I'm telling you, that is getting in my heart in abundance, and the devil's in trouble. I had nothing to do with it, really. Jesus came, paid the price, and I have been cleared by payment. That truth starts settling down on the inside of you. You are usable. You become usable by the Holy Ghost. No accusation can hold up in court against me. All right, one more of these. You can look it up later. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So I put it this way. As part of God's church, I am sanctified, set apart from the world. I am holy and dedicated to His purposes. I am a saint of God. You say that in the church where I grew up? I don't care if you are quoting the Bible. You're in big trouble. Can you see? Can you feel anything happening in you as you hear those? I can. When I say that out loud with my mouth, I can tell it's tearing down strongholds of wrong thinking. Still yet, after all of these years, and I can feel my faith rising up. He can use me. He can flow through me. Yes, sir. All right. That was failure number one. I laid down one of the tools that He had given me for the most part. Honey, I've picked it back up. Okay? The second part. Mark has been teaching recently, not today or the last week, but before that he was teaching about doing warfare over your personal prophecies. The prophecies, the things that the Lord has spoken to you. Again, if you weren't here the night that he had that rope, he had two men hold a rope, one at that corner of the green line, one at that corner of the green line, and tied on that rope were little red flags every so often. Those red flags represented prophecies or words from the Lord, either spoken to you directly where you wrote it down or something, or maybe through Pastor Dave or through somebody else. But they were genuine prophecies of the Lord. And the idea is you're supposed to go through your life going from prophecy to prophecy. The Father knows the end from the beginning, and that life, that becomes your lifeline. That is your path on God's will for your life. I thought it was an excellent example. Sadly, though, Tim gave me this horrible document called Clarifying Your Vision. And I say it's horrible, and you'll know why it's horrible in a minute. Page one, it just killed you dead. Now he quotes some verses here. What this is really for is to get your. It would be as though you really knew you had all those prophecies in your hand, and from those, you wrote the vision, or let's say it another way, you wrote the plan of God for your life. So there's verses for that. You can look them up later. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And in Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, you're supposed to be able to write this. Here's item one. It's a 6 or 7 page document. Item one. It says, you are developing a long-range plan and objective for your major responsibility area. Fill in the blanks. So the first one says purpose. What is your reason for being? Your mission. Why are you needed? Who are the people you serve? What or whose needs are met? And what is the scope of your outreach? Only a clear definition of your vision or your mission and purpose of the ministry makes possible clear and realistic objectives. Sounds reasonable? So then it has a sentence. It says, the purpose of my life is... colon. And a blank spot. I can't take... for days, I'd try and do this and I'd write stuff and throw that away and I'd write another one and throw that away and I'd go, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Yeah, I know, I'm a teacher. That'd be easy. Put that down. I knew it wasn't right. In frustration, what do? You walk off praying in tongues, you know. I hope I wrote it down. I think I did. Yes. And we're talking about becoming disciples. I said, Lord, why am I having so much trouble with this? That seems like I'm 65 this year. I mean, I've been a Christian for over 30 years. You'd think by now I would be able to write my vision. Why am I having so much trouble? Why can't I write it? Word for word, here's what he said to me. I told you my failure sometimes will help you as much as anything. He says, you have not known, neither have you contended for my words that have been spoken to you. Now when he says I do not know them, it doesn't mean I have not read them. Some people, their problem is they haven't received much in the way of words. Okay? That is not mine and Sue's problem. Bless her darling heart. She went through it. She's been working on this for a long time. She's gathering all of our prophecies and words from here and there. She put them together for me. Our stack with a big clip on it is about an inch and a half thick. After he said that to me, I went and got it that she prepared for me a year ago. She's been real nice. It's been laying there. Yeah, nice, honey. Thank you. I went and got it. Started page by page going through the words, and the vision began unfolding, the plan of his plan for our life. In our case, it's got three major areas. There's three areas he talks in all the time, three things. Gary, what are they? It's none of your business. Now, what I've done in one of the areas, the teaching area, that's one of the three, you can know that one. The teaching area, that's where I've done like 95% of everything that's been done. Why? Because it comes natural for me. That part seems easy for me. You just wind me up and put me somewhere I'm going to teach. I can't help not doing that. I used to teach in real estate, didn't I? You know, I'd teach wherever we go, I'd teach. So that part's real easy. These other two areas he's talking about, I stink in both of those. I have a track record of failure in both of those. And besides that, it's going to... Now, not that teaching doesn't require him. You've seen how all through this, even this service. But those two areas really require him. And they're going to require more discipline, more fasting. I didn't say that out loud, did I? More discipline than I've been willing to do up until now. But the thing of it is, I'm going to stand before him someday. Now, to me, I hope that's encouraging to you. I'm up here telling you the truth. I'm just, okay, the emperor has no clothes. Here I've got all these... Am I going to stand before him someday with that stack an inch and a half thick of his words to me and say to him I didn't know what I was called to do? Uh-uh. Not after this. So we've started again. We've got them out, working on them, combination of that and these confessions. I'm telling you, and I mean it with all my heart, you ain't seen no ministry yet. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Tulsa is in trouble. The devil is in trouble. Tulsa is in revival, and Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Now you do the same. You dig out yours. Blow the dust off of those things. Get those words out, and you start writing your vision. He's not left you in the dark. Hallelujah. It is, isn't it? Somebody said, it's good preaching. I said, it is, isn't it? Well, it's because it's him. And it's the right season. We're in the right season. Start of a new year. Let the past be the past. Forgetting those things that are behind. I've heard this recently. Let's press towards the mark. Let's press toward it. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. Give the Lord a hand. It's his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited. I am really excited about what's coming. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for your word that we all have access to, your written, holy word, which is truth. Father, I thank you. You've made provision for everything we'd ever need right here. But Father, you've not left us as children. You've sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide. And through the Holy Spirit, Lord, you've spoken to us by personal prophecy, by prophets, by ministers. And Father, you've given us each direction. Father, have mercy on me. And then also I'm asking, Father, have mercy on all of us where we have lightly regarded your word. Father, help us get it right, the vision, and make it plain and get it in front of our eyes so we don't spend any more time walking our path. But Father, we spend the time walking the path that you have for us. And Father, I'm also asking you to set a watch upon our lips that we not sin against thee. Father, help us with our everyday speaking, that we don't speak words that are stout against you. That we speak words, Lord, that are truth. That your word becomes in our hearts in abundance. Where when the enemy pokes even harder, our confession becomes even stronger. And Father, we thank you for change. That you love us too much to leave us the way we are. But you've given us tools that if we put them into use, Father, we become molded into that very image of Christ. And your kingdom comes. Your will is done on planet Earth, just like it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.